number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Hope you're having a great day to this point. Titans coaching search is underway. We say hello to one of our coolest people. That is Chris Sanders. Chris, how would you answer our question of the day? The coolest guy, the coolest cat in sports of all time.
The coolest guy in sports ever?
Yeah, like Joe said Joe Namath. I said Dale Earnhardt.
Oh, man. Lynn Swann?
That's a good one. That's a really good one. Nothing wrong with that.
Real good cat. I actually met him at the Super Bowl, but my camera broke. So I'm still kind of upset. But, yeah, Lynn Swann, absolutely great guy. Coolest dude in America.
That is a good one for sure. Where are you on the coaching search? All the big names, except for Harbaugh. We don't know about Harbaugh yet. He hasn't, I don't think, taken any interview requests yet. But McCarthy's coming in. They've asked Jason Garrett. They've asked Arthur Smith. Yep. I mean, everybody that needs to be interviewed is going to be interviewed. Yeah.
I like Nagy. I mean, I like him, but also I like Arthur Smith. And the reason why I like Arthur Smith is because we know he was a tight ends coach here, so he's familiar with what's going on. So you don't really have to reinvent a lot of things. So I kind of like him, and I like Matt Nagy. I like him because, you know, he's with Kansas City and all those things. But you just want to get a guy in here that's a good fit, because you can have a great coach. He can be great with X and O's, but it might not be a good fit. So I think for the coaching search, it's just got to be a good fit for your quarterback, a good fit for your organization, and that's going to work with everybody to make this organization better. So that's kind of how I would look at it if I was picking a coach.
Do you think that – so for me, I think they need to get somebody with head coaching experience. That would be my choice. I would also, if you get an offensive-minded coach to come in, I would sign up for bringing a – you know, Matt Nagy said he wouldn't call plays, so
– Keep right.
You know, you're
on I-24 West.
Where are you going, Chris?
me and my wife.
Don't blame it on her.
It's my wife. We're going out of town. No, but say that again. What'd you ask?
I don't even know. I was asking, would it benefit the new head coach to bring in former head coaches as the coordinators?
Yeah, I mean, this is what we got to understand. When you're bringing a defensive-minded guy or offensive-minded coach, it's not that he's going to be the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator. He just might have a defensive mind. You just want to bring a guy in here that can build a team. I mean, the guys can rally around you. And I think sometimes we kind of get it mixed up a little bit, that if he's a defensive-minded coach that he's going to call defensive-minded plays, and we have a perfect example. You know, Jeff Fisher is a great defensive-minded guy, but he didn't call the defense. You just want to get guys in here that have the same vision, the same goals, the same heart, the same identity if you're a defensive coordinator. So I just think that you handle it that way, and I think you can make your organization better.
Fantastic. All right, Chris, we got a song for you. Hit it, Dr. Crane.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's my jam. That's old school, man.
I figure on a dreary day we need a little sunshine, right?
Yeah, with sunshine. That's the jam, man. That's Rob Bass and whatchamacallit. Yeah, that's a great song, man.
I can see a 23-year-old Chris Sanders.
Oh, my God.
Cruising through Columbus, Ohio with this on the radio.
In a Bonneville.
Yes.
I should do the MC Hammer to that song. Come on, man. So
Rob Basin, who's the other guy?
Rob Basin,
DJ Easy Rock.
DJ Easy Rock. The dude that didn't say number dance.
That's right. Kind of like you. Well done. All right, so listen, you never had a head coaching change when you were with the organization. Uh-huh. You had Mr. Mustache the entire time. But you had a position coach change, a new coordinator come in.
Right.
What was that like? I mean, before you met them, like, all right, we got a new Mike Heimerdinger's coming to town. I don't know this dude. What's going to happen? What was going through your mind then?
I mean, it wasn't too much. I sat down and I really talked to Heimerdinger when he came in, because I wanted to pick his brain on what he wants from me. because you can get different coaches and you can get different guys, but you, and they'll teach you different techniques. But I went to him. I said, okay, what do you demand from me? How do you want me to run my routes? How do you want me to have a role on this team? And when I talk to him, then I can get an aspect of what he wants. So, you know, that's all you do. I mean, you may have different, you know, different coordinators or different coaches coming in and teach you different techniques. But at the end of the day, you want what that coach wants you to do. So if you just meet with them, build a relationship with them, then you can make it work. But if a guy doesn't want to do that and say my way or no way, then it's not going to work. So that's how you kind of handle the situation.
What to say when you change like a position coach? Same thing? I mean, was it like?
It's same thing. You know, just like when you know, when I got Les Steckel, I sat down and we met for about an hour and a half, and we just talked. Number one, we talked about life, and then we talked about football. And then he said this. He said, Chris, this is what I expect of you. This is what I need you to do. This is what the organization thinks about you, but this is what I demand from you. And when he said that, I'm going to run through a wall and learn from a new coach and learn his technique to get better and take it to a whole different level.
I'm sure you play with guys who never conform that way. Like, I'm going to do it my way, and they're going to have to
–
and they're
like,
see ya.
Oh, my gosh. It's the worst. I mean, and when you talk about being coachable, because this is my opinion, we have a generation of guys that don't want to be coached, because if you don't want to be coached, you're not going to want to win. Because why wouldn't I take everything that I know and learn from a coach who's been there? Les Steckel coached some great receivers, Westbrook from Colorado. I mean, a lot of guys, and taught a lot of guys how to be great wide receivers. So why would I not want to listen to a guy who's been there and done that, and he can take my game to a whole level? I don't understand it.
I agree. Also, I thought about you when they asked Mario Cristobal last night, the Miami coach, on how they've put together this three-game run in the playoffs.
Come on,
and
man.
He said, everybody is bought in. And I'm like, that's Chris Sanders talk right there, baby.
It's trusting. Did you hear the rant that Kirk Herbstreit did when the game was over? Did y'all hear that?
I did not.
When I say it was incredible, this is what he said. He said, you can go get a whole bunch of guys, a whole bunch of five stars, and have a whole bunch of individuals. But you see Indiana and you see Miami where guys actually loved each other and didn't just buy in, but they trusted in. You're going to get there if you do it that way. So that's what if you're ever coaching a team, that's what you want to do. You don't want to get guys that just buy in when it's good. You want guys that trust the process, trust the organization, trust the coaches, and that's what you saw on display in both teams yesterday.
Yeah, Brockemeyer, I forget his first name, the offensive lineman from Miami, they asked after the game, hey, what does this feel like? He's like, I get one more rodeo with my boys.
Oh, my God. See, that's
and
it,
I was like,
man.
Yes.
That's it because, you know, when I play for the Tennessee Titans, and every time me and Derek talk, we don't talk about, well, Ray Lewis hit me or Greg Lloyd hit me. We talk about the things we did in the locker room, you know, playing golf in the locker room and have a thing called Sick Saturday where we get Krispy Kreme donuts and get sick until we get sick. I mean, things like that, that's what we missed. And you could just see, you know, I think number 10, the wide receiver, when they were interviewing him, he was in tears. He said, the reason why I'm so excited, not that I made touchdowns, is because I do it with my brothers. But then you get into a situation in the NFL where guys say that, but they're not intentionally doing it. And you saw what Miami did. They intentionally love each other.
Yeah, you guys would switch the nameplates before Bud Adams walked in, too. That's what you're doing in the locker room.
When I tell you that was the best.
Look, when you first told that story, I just I remember just going, that is brilliant. That is the most amazing thing.
But you know who did it was Bruce Matthews. Matthews was a Hall of Famer. But then I'm like, the first time I saw it, I was like, what is he doing? He's like, Chris, watch this. So Bud Adams.
But here's the thing, Chris. He's the only one that could have gotten away with it. Like nobody else would have been able to get away with that. Yeah.
And he'll walk into me like see, say if Drew Bennett was under Derek Mason's locker, he'll be like, hey, how you doing, Derek Mason? And it's Drew Bennett.
That's great.
That is so good.
Oh, my God.
By the time we talk next week, you think they got a coach?
I think they need to make it quick. I hope they do, because you don't want to prolong this thing, because I know the season is about to be over in, you know, a couple of weeks, but you want to have that coach in place so you can start building and getting the coaches you want and getting people excited, getting ready for the draft, because you don't want this thing to linger to the draft and linger to camp. You just don't want to do. Get your coach so he can start building an identity and bring a culture of guys of winners, and that's I think you want to do it quickly.
Chris, appreciate it as always, my friend. Have a good weekend, and I hope you get
appreciate
where you're going safely.
All right. Y'all take care. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Chris Sanders joining us on the program. Coming up next, Joe, there was a report about some non-negotiables for the next team that wants John Harbaugh. And if this is true, the Titans have no chance in hell.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll tell you what they are. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. The OJs bringing us back. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. So I don't know. This seems like this isn't true, but I've seen it a few different places. And this is coming from this is supposedly from John Harbaugh's agent in relations to the Cleveland Browns job and what may happen there. This is from the Big Lead. Brian Harlan revealed that per his agent that John Harbaugh would have these non-negotiables for his next job. And Tony Grossi is the reporter on this and put this out there. $20 million per year. So that takes him out of here right now. She ain't paying.
Right. No.
$10 million for the staff, for the budget there. Total authority over the roster. And he would like to select his own general manager.
Okay.
So if that is all true, don't even he will not be here. I can tell you that right now. Because, one, they got a GM, who I think is a good one. Two, they're not going to give the coach full authority over the roster with that already in place. And three, she ain't paying that kind of money.
No!
Supposedly, they were paying Callahan $3
million. It's probably $2.5 million too much.
Yeah, probably. I mean, turns out, like, you know, that was viewed as cheap, and now it's like, eh, you might have been onto something.
Isn't he paid till 28?
I guess.
That I saw? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the other thing. Like, she is still paying a coach and two general managers.
Yep.
So, if you think she – I mean, the market is higher now. I mean, like, if you want to get a McCarthy or, you know, one of these guys with experience, especially McCarthy, like, he has a ring, it's going to cost you some money. Like, that ring, it adds money to –
Sure.
The pot.
So you can get Nagy for $3 million, not paying – you save $17 million right there.
I think Nagy – I think you're looking at – so supposedly I think Vrabel was in the 5-7 range. I think he's probably in that.
See, I think Vrabel was 2.5.
When he first got hired.
Yeah.
But by the time he left
– So if you want the job, here's the salary. If you don't want it, we're going to move on. I don't think Nagy has got to the point – it's N-A-G-G-E-E-Y.
Thank you.
Schwa. Apostrophe S.
Thank you.
The S is silent.
Thank you.
So it's Nagy on that part of it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Did you get that, Dr. Crane?
Please mark that.
Please mark
there
that.
There was a tilde over a letter? Yeah, is that what I heard?
Something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't forget
you
the
dated schwa. A tilde.
I did. And a Matilda.
Uh-huh,
so don't forget both of those. No, I don't think you've earned – I think you've got to earn it. I think here's what we're going to pay you. If you like it, that's great. But here's what you get to work with. You get Cam, get a new stadium, a general manager who knows what he's doing. All this great things, a new opportunity. Now, you could call, bring your own staff in. I'm good with that, but no. And now, is it Mike McCarthy's added to the fray, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, basically everybody that needs to be interviewed except for Harbaugh, Saleh's in it. I think everybody that needs to be on it is on it.
I think that Baltimore defense is pretty good. I think that's Saleh's calling. I think that's where he ends up.
So you got Stefanski, Saleh, Jeff Hafley, Chris Shula, Jesse Minter, Vance Joseph, Mike McCarthy, Matt Nagy, Arthur Smith, Mike McDaniel. Well, I don't know about McDaniel, but Raheem Morris, Cliff Kingsbury.
As you said earlier, the usual suspects.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, A to Z Sports has an article that has 22 names in 8 categories, which I think are interesting. Number one is cartwheels, which is John Harbaugh, which basically, like, okay, yeah, you would take that, but it's not likely. Tier two, exciting retreads, Stefanski and Robert Saleh,
mm-hmm.
which I would say that's true. High caliber, fresh faces, Hafley, Shula, Minter. Less exciting retreads, Vance Joseph, McCarthy, Nagy, Smith. Okay. Head coach, maybe. Coordinator, absolutely. Mike McDaniel, Raheem Morris, Cliff Kingsbury, which I would agree with that.
Yep.
Tier six, willing to hear them out. Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver, Clint Kubiak, Mike Kafka, Matt Burke, Broncos passing game coordinator and quarterback coach Davis Webb. And then really the best they could do, who these would be rejected, Lou Anarumo and Jason Garrett.
Yeah, I just a bunch of – and look, I told you before it's going to be that one. They announce Nagy as the coach, and Borghansi's going to say, everybody wanted this job. Everybody, it's a great job. It's a PR thing, man. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. He's going to say that when they hire Nagy in the next 5 days.
Let me throw a what-if at you. If you're Matt Nagy, do you roll the dice on one of the seven jobs that are open, whichever one that may be?
Okay.
Or do you stand pat for a year or two and let Andy retire, and then you're probably the head coach in waiting?
Great question. And you got a built-in Mahomes.
You got your quarterback.
Yeah.
Unless they just completely blow it up, and which I don't think they would.
So if Nagy's out, I think it's Stefanski's job.
I would agree.
And then that
– well, I think Saleh has a pretty good chance, but this Saleh also is going to have more of a choice.
Yeah, I think Baltimore is Saleh. I think that's a defense that already
him.
There.
That
already
fit,
there.
That fits
you can
him.
Win there.
The Giants is a number one, and he knows that market. Now, he may not want to deal with New York again, but like
but he could shove that, it to him.
That ownership group compared to the one he came from is night and day.
Well, and there's been a precedent of hiring Barcells, you know, Belichick. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys have done
and
both.
Look, I think my just thought, wherever Saleh lands, McDaniel's his OC. I just have a feeling.
Why did he leave New England?
No, Mike McDaniel.
Oh,
not
sorry.
See, all right. Thank,
that's
thank
the
you.
Problem.
You've set me up for something.
Yep.
Thank you. Little PSA for you out there. There is McDaniel's. He's the OC in New England.
Right.
There is McDaniel. He is the former head coach of the Dolphins.
And there's also McDougal.
And McDonald.
Yes. They got the Big Mac. We got the Big Mick.
Right. Mick Barris?
Yeah, right. So that's right. You're right. No, you're right. But that's the problem is you read off all these names. I checked out halfway through. Because none of them are in the play. None of them are in the play for this. It's like the NCAA tournament, right? There's 68 teams. You only care about eight of them. When you get down to team 30, they ain't winning. Team 40 sure is not.
Yeah.
They're not doing that. So there's the coaches they want to get out there, and there's eight jobs now, and then you got to fight for them. The Raiders are going to go after Nagy. They're going to go after Harbaugh. They're going to go after Stefanski. You got to tell these guys why you want to come here.
Yeah.
And you better do it now.
And I think this is a good year that you could get a head coach coordinator combo.
Yeah.
Because you got guys that have worked together or would be really good fits together. Like, if Raheem Morris ends up being the defensive coordinator here, I'm good with it. Like,
but who's head coach?
I mean,
right?
Then you go off but you're going offense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a Nagy, that's a Stefanski, that you know, somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you go Saleh, then you're looking at a Daboll or Mike McDaniel or whatever as the OC. But, like, to me, you know, you call them retreads, and that's fine. That's what they are. But
we're all retreads.
But there's experience there, too.
Right.
And,
they are.
You know, I mean, I like some of those names more than a McCarthy.
I mean, we're all dog faces here. We're all mutts.
Sure.
I mean, we're 10-1. Listen, it is – Chris Shuler's not getting this job. Not getting this job. I mean, they're not getting this job. You're not hiring these
guys. You still talk to them. Still talk to them.
But you're not – yeah. Hey, how
Halfley,
you doing?
Halfley could get this job.
Not a chance in hell.
I'm not going to go that
not
far.
Not a chance in hell.
I'm saying
I'm
it's
telling you, there are two candidates.
It's a 20% chance, but I'm going to say he's
it's
got,
like we do at the start of the season. Give me four teams to make the Super Bowl, and you get the rest of the field. Give me the four teams.
Yeah.
Right? So you know it's Nagy, Saleh, Art Smith, the prime guys. Chris Shula ain't coming here.
I think it's going to be Matt Nagy, too.
Yeah.
But Mike Borghansi does not need to have that mentality. Mike Borghansi needs to go into this going, I don't know any of you guys. You're going to tell me why you need to be my head coach.
When he does a press conference, when he announces Matt Nagy's a head coach, and when he says, we had a lot of interest in this job, I'm going to come into your office with a bucket of eggs and just throw them at you. because I'll be correct.
I'm the one that's been saying from the beginning that it was going to be Matt Nagy. So, no, I'll throw him right back at you.
No, Borghanti's going to go out and say, everybody wanted this job. Everybody wanted this job. When in reality, yeah, it's a head coaching job. They probably did. But you're only focused on three or four guys. If you've got down to Chris Shula or Halfley.
You still talk to him. Because you're doing recon for
but you're not serious interest.
No, and that's fine. Joel wants to weigh in. Joel in Columbia, what's up?
Well, I got two scenarios, if I may. I would love to see Saleh and McDaniel come in as the coach and offensive coordinator. If that happens, then I want to keep Bones and Denard Wilson. If I can't get that, I would love to see Arthur Smith come in with Raheem Morris as the defensive coordinator and keep Bones as the special teams. I just want to see what y'all would think about either one of those situations.
Okay, thanks for the call, Joel. I mean, I'm good. What was the second one he said?
Something about Bones.
I mean, I'm good. I'm good with, you know, if Art and Raheem are – I'm good with those scenarios.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if they hire Arthur Smith, I'm fine with that.
I'm absolutely fine with this.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look, I think that – everybody needs to understand that you have a team that really hasn't done things right the last few years.
Yeah.
So if they go a little bit more of a safe route, which is what Arthur Smith would be, then you have to trust Borghanti to give him a roster that he can win with.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to have to understand that you're not – I mean, and same with Nagy. I mean, you're not getting a head coach that is necessarily going to be like Andy Reid and make your roster better.
I'm with you, man, and I'm a big Art Smith guy. I am, but it's got to be the right fit for him and right everything else and how well you get along with Borghanti. That's why I go back to Nagy. Those guys have a relationship, and that article last week summed all that up, how close they are. So that's what I see.
Al says, I'll donate $100 to a charity of your choice if you two actually have an egg fight.
I'd love – yeah.
I've got one in mind. We could do that.
Yep. Thank you.
We could definitely make that happen.
Yes.
Coming up next, Predators won an exciting one last night in their return to Bridgestone Arena. They're back in action tomorrow night against the Blackhawks. I'll talk to defenseman Nick Hague coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Predators with a fun one last night. 2-1 win over the New York Islanders in the shootout. And to talk more about that, defenseman Nick Hague is on with us now. Nick, good morning. Nice win last night.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
I got a question. When you guys had a battle with a team with the Islanders that just came off a 9-0 win. They obviously are a good team. After such a long road trip, how difficult is it to play that first home game?
Yeah, it can be tough. I've actually always thought those games are some of the hardest of the year when you just get back. We had kind of a long travel day, coming back home, and then you turn around and you're right back to it. So, the mindset, for us, and we talked about it, it's like you almost treat it just as another road game. It kind of has to be the mentality. And, I thought we did a really good job with it and kind of stuck to our details and we were rewarded for it.
When you look at this stretch of games that you guys have been on, does this feel like the team that you all thought you had when you got together for training camp?
Yeah, I think so, right? Like, there's no secret. We kind of had a tough start to the year, and nobody was, happy with that. It was, but we didn't feel like it was like we were right there in games, and we just weren't getting the results, and, we've been a resilient group all year, and I think now we kind of just stuck with the process, and now we're starting to get rewarded for that, and the work that we put into it. And it's never going to be perfect, but I think we're really finding our stride as a group, and starting to feel really good about our game. And when you get the results as well, it's just good for everybody. It makes us feel a lot better and kind of little bit of a reward for the process that we put into this every day. And it's been fun, and the guys are kind of clicking right now.
Nick Hague is with us. From a defenseman's point of view, when you see the goaltending performance that you've gotten, Juice has 30 saves last night. Eustace Onanen, when he's gotten his number called, has been playing well as of late. I mean, how much easier does that make your job to be able to support some great goaltending play?
Yeah, they've both been unreal. Kind of, you know, especially Juice, right? Like he's been our, you know, our backbone there all year when, you know, things weren't going well and he was holding us in games. And I told him last night he's my new favorite player. He's just been he's been locked in all year, and it's been fun to watch. And they've both been really good. It's definitely kind of creates like a calming presence, you know, for the group when you know you got a guy back there who's gonna shut the door.
What is it like when you guys will roll 7D like has happened a couple of times lately? You know, Barron, the coaches are saying now that he's back from injury, wanted to get him some opportunities to play so he's ready for the stretch run. So how does that change the strategy when it's 7D?
I don't know if it does. It's just, yeah. I don't know if it changes the strategy. I think it's just, you know, obviously it was good to get JB back in the lineup. And, I mean, the coaches kind of roll us all out as they see fit. And, but our messaging or our game plan, if you will, is, it's never going to change. You know, we want to try to play the same way no matter who's in the lineup. And I think that's, you know, a sign of a good team is we have that depth, right? And everybody can step in and get the job done.
So for you, I have to bring this up. There was a few games ago, kind of a role reversal. You hit the big shot to score, and Stammer blocks one. I have to imagine that was a fun discussion after the game.
Yeah. I mean, that was great from Stammer, right? He's he's been really leading the way, and on both sides of the puck, you know, as was evident there. So. Yeah, he does it all. He's a Hall of Famer for sure. He's you know, scores, and you know we can always count on him to defend, and he's been leading us for sure.
I said to Hal Gill in the game after in our pregame interview, I said, as a defenseman, when you see like your goal scoring forward do that, does the D-Core have the beers at the next outing? Because I feel like you owe him one.
You know what? I think it's just a sign of kind of, you know, shows a little glimpse of what it's like inside our locker room, right? And you know, no matter who you are, or kind of what your maybe role is on the team, you know, everyone's, you know, willing to step up in a big moment like that, and you know, kind of lay it all on the line. And I think it just kind of shows kind of our mindset and just, you know, everyone's willing to do whatever it takes to, you know, to push that win to the final buzzer. And, you know, I don't think there's been a, you know, better example of that, you know, than what happened the other night in Calgary.
Nick Hague is with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. You know, there's always a lot of discussion about culture within a team and within a locker room. And, you know, you're a prime example of a guy that had been on a Stanley Cup winning team in Vegas. Marchessault was a part of that, Stamkos in Tampa. So there are a lot of different, you know, ideas and of culture that have been brought into this room. Plus you got the young guys that are kind of learning that. So how has that all meshed together, especially over the course of the last month and a half, to kind of form what you guys have in that room?
Yeah, I think it's one of the most important things is, you know, having a good culture. You know, it's like, what's that mean, right? I'm sure everyone has a different, you know, different opinion of it. But, you know, from, you know, my experience here, I've, you know, been here for, we've played 40 games now or whatever it is. And this is as tight of a group as I've ever seen. And that, I think that's just kind of testament to, you know, the older guys that have been here, you know, from the start. And, you know, when things, you know, even when things weren't going well, right? Like, it just, we kind of had that belief in our room, and you know, we believed that we, you know, could be a lot better, and I think it's starting to show it now. And you know, that starts with our leaders, and you know, and the guys that have, you know, kind of been around the block and buy in from everybody. And it's you know, I think it's a lot of it's, you know, kind of what happens out on the ice, but I think, you know, a big part of that too is, you know, in the room and just, you know, how we treat each other, and you know, our commitment to, you know, to work, you know, off the ice, and you know, and put in all that all the time and effort to, you know, make sure that when we do get out there, we can, you know, be at our best. And you know, I give a lot of credit to the older guys on this team. They lead the way with that, you know, by, you know, lead by example. And you know, you see a guy like, you know, Factor, Stammer, Yost, Phil, you know, all these guys that are you know, kind of, you know, leading the charge with all the work that we're putting in, and everyone just kind of gets dragged into the fight with them. And yeah, that's never going to be a concern with our group. Everyone's, you know, bought in, and we have a lot of fun, you know, showing up to work every day and putting in the work. And it's been nice now, you know, like I said, you know, we start to, you know, get the results, and, you know, it's a rewarding feeling, and, you know, and we know we're, you know, just getting started. It's, you know, it's, the job's far from over.
How do you look at, and the whole league is dealing with this, with the schedule, the Olympic break coming up, you guys, you know, went to Sweden and had a little bit of a condensed schedule before that. So how do you personally go about preparing for that, knowing that, I mean, you're playing pretty much, you got a back-to-back this weekend, and you're playing pretty much every 48 hours?
Yeah, it's it can be hard at times, I'm not going to lie. It's, you know, with travel and, you know, and everything, but You just do it, right? Like, you don't have a choice. And these, you know, all these points are so important. You know, whether it's game one or game 82, you know, 2 points, they all count the same. So, you know, you got to keep your, you know, your mind in it. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. And you know, we do that to the best we can. It's, yeah, it's sometimes not the easiest thing, right? With travel and like you said, our schedule's been so condensed, but, at the same time, the whole league is feeling like that this year. So, you know, whoever can manage it the best is, you know, going to be better off for it. And that's kind of our mindset.
Well, you guys have been doing a great job with it. Nick, appreciate your time. Good luck this weekend with the back-to-backs. And we'll see you tomorrow night against the Blackhawks in Smashville.
Thank you. Have a good one.
That's Predators defenseman Nick Hague. They're back at it tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. 7 o'clock puck drop against the Blackhawks. We'll have more coming here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Appreciate Nick Hague for joining us. Babe Laufenberg, color analyst for the Dallas Cowboys, will join us here in a few minutes. Also played quarterback in Indiana. So a lot to get into with him. Looking forward to that. And Michelle Kennedy in the 2 o'clock hour. Predators win last night in the shootout. And I wanted to make a point to ask him, and he gave a good answer, about you go on a long road trip. You're gone for over 2 weeks and 7 games total away from Bridgestone Arena. How difficult is that first home game back? Because not only are you having to focus on playing at home, but, you know, you're back and you got home stuff to deal with. And, I mean, there's just – I mean, and everybody goes through it, but I can only imagine how difficult that is, and they're able to overcome that and win in a shootout last night.
Nice. Huge win. Islanders are pretty good. Not a bad team.
They are. They just beat the Devils 9-0.
Yeah, right. So it's a good win for them. But, look, you just said it. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you.
No. It's a part of the – you know, it's a part of it.
You got to go in and get it down and win games. But winning that first game back after a long road trip is really important, because that's like, all right, we feel good. We know what it feels like doing that. And, look, man, slowly but surely – and the crowd last night was fantastic. There were a lot of Islander fans in the building last night. But that's all right, though.
Yeah.
Right?
So
it's all right.
Nashville is they are 2 points out of a playoff spot right now. They have 44 points, 1 point behind Utah and Anaheim. And then San Jose, Los Angeles are the two wild cards teams. L.A. in the second spot with 46 points.
Yeah, you're not cracking the three in your division.
No, I mean,
they're way ahead.
Minnesota's got 60. Dallas has 60. Colorado has 71. I was worried about Colorado because they're on a two-game losing streak, but they broke that last night.
Good.
So
getting things done. So it was.
They really needed to get stuff together, man.
Sunday, the Capitals. Who's tomorrow night?
The Blackhawks, The Blackhawks are right behind you with 43 points. So that is, for the first time in a long time, a Predators-Blackhawks game actually means something.
Good.
Which I think is cool.
In a long time. It's hard to believe the Blackhawks have not been in the playoffs
since 2017.
9 years.
But they got something cooking there with their young players. Pred's got something cooking here. So, I mean, I would expect that those fans that have had those jerseys in the closet for the last 9 years will probably bring them out and be excited.
Well, good.
About
they
the game
should.
Tomorrow. So.
It should be a nice crowd tomorrow night, too. Back to back.
I think so. Fun yeah, no, I mean, look, I'm going. I haven't gotten to see them live in a while. So you were there last night representing the show.
That's
so
right.
It was good.
Talking to people, walking the concourse, telling people.
Did you hand some books out?
Important. I did no books. Not about me. It's about the show. It's about the station. Plenty of me time later.
It's not about me.
To do that. Adam Schefter reporting that Brian Callahan has interviewed for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers job. And one person who really wants Brian Callahan to get that job is?
Amy Adams Strunk.
Right. How much we saving now?
call the team that hires him as OC. Be like, why don't you pay him about $3.1 million?
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Do that. Well, Amy, if he goes, you can get that ivory back scratcher you've been wanting. Damn you, ivory back scratcher.
Nice Mr. Burns reference there.
It's all there, man. No, wish him well, man. Good. Go get on there and get the job.
You know what the biggest problem I had with him was? He'd wear a Titans jacket and an Oilers hat. And that used to just piss me off.
Yeah. And then he would wear that Rand Carthon-inspired tee, which is not official team whatever. It was just an odd
time. I don't know how the league allowed that.
By the way, 2 years ago today, Mike Vrabel was fired as head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, wow.
2 years ago today, he was let go of the Titans.
Jeez. All right.
Probably not.
Well, that's where we are now.
The time just flies by. It's crazy.
And now he's getting ready to lead his team to a playoff game.
I think they lose Sunday night to the Chargers.
Maybe. I say no, but maybe.
I think Harbaugh will have them prepared and ready to go. Herbert's back. I think they lose.
By the way, I'm trying to think how I want to word this. Something that's kind of cool that baseball is back on NBC.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So you got the NBA and baseball back on NBC. I feel like all's right in the world.
When are they going to air games?
Sunday nights. They're going to do some Sunday night baseball.
I'm sure they all Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, like it always is. Throw a few
You got the Braves and Phillies in there. You got some of these are exclusive to Peacock, but they'll also be simulcast on NBC Sports Network.
Are they giving up the NBC Sunday night? I mean, like all through the spring and summer?
Some.
Okay. Yeah. That's what it used to be. I mean, the only baseball I got growing up was Monday Night Baseball on ABC. You had Joe Garagiola and Tony Kubek would do the games. And you get Sunday afternoon, you have Mel Allen, This Week in Baseball, we always watched. And then the rest you would get from SportsCenter or from the paper.
Yeah.
Very organic. It was a lot. You know, now it's you get every game, every channel, all the time. And, you know, back then, you know, I'm an old man, I know. But you really the value of what you get to see, those games that happen all the time.
Do you think Titans fans care at all if he gets a job?
Yes. Titans fans, yes, they do.
Why?
Former coach, see what he's doing, how he's going. Now, you got to remember, when you say Titans fans, there's those, like the radio listeners, the tiers that we have.
Yeah.
So I think Titans fans are those invested in the football team.
Right.
Not like us on the skirmish of, on the outside, like looking in like, you know, this and that.
Well, like I'm a fan of the team. Like
but you're not fully invested, right?
Yeah, I'm like I'm not a season ticket holder.
Yeah,
No, that like I look at it like this. There's two tone till I die, which means they can do no wrong.
Right.
They're the ones that'll fight you if you give an opinion that's against anything they do. You have the diehards that they're the season ticket holders, they're the A1s from day ones that but they're going to give you like, man, I'm really disappointed in how the things are going, but I'm still a fan.
It's fine.
You know, and then you have probably where we are, like the fans of, you know, want to see them do well. But, you know.
I think the first you talked about really care about this football team.
Yeah.
So when I brought up earlier, we're like, oh, Schefter, I wonder what he's getting paid. You know, he brought the story up. And, yeah, I think we're all into it. Former coach, you want to see how they're doing. And I even need to bring up, oh, what's he doing now? I think people are invested, and I think the same goes for Callahan. look, all Callahan's known is football the last 20-something years, and then all of a sudden on a Sunday you're not on the sideline. I know he's getting paid a lot of money. I get that. But at the same time, you got in this business because you wanted to coach football, and now you're out. So maybe we'll get the opportunity down in Tampa to do that.
Do we know if – because I don't really know how all this works for – you know, with the new PR group that the Titans have, but like, you know, used to, Robbie would mail out, like, the Titans have completed an interview with Joe Dubin.
Yeah.
You know,
it's going well, by the way.
So I wonder if that's going to happen.
They haven't done anything yet. Yeah, right.
Well, I think today is when it started.
Okay. Yeah. So I would hope so. Like, it's part of that whole thing being very transparent with all that goes on. And
yeah. Like, you don't have to tell me how it went. Yeah. I mean, you can. But like, I just, like, okay, who
let me
you
ask you
to?
This. Is there a difference in the quality of candidate when it's a Zoom interview or face-to-face?
Oh, I think so. I think the ones that go to the – that's where you should care. The ones that go to the face-to-face round, which means you're spending money to bring them here and actually talk with them in the facility, which means Amy's going to be involved, that's when it's real. Like, right now, it's real. But the ones that don't make it past the virtual interview, it's just like, all right, we need to check some boxes.
Now, I know Art Smith can't do it. Robert Saleh can't do it. They can't come here. They're
not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But in the end, I think it's a big deal if you have a Zoom. Like, McCarthy's a Zoom interview.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you start there. They're doing virtual interviews with everyone to start, I think. I think you have to.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Stefanski's coming to town.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
That's what I was reading earlier.
Yeah. I'm reading through Schefter to see if there's anything, any other news.
I didn't see. I mean, there's
so John Eric Sullivan looks like he's going to be the new GM of the Dolphins. Which wasn't he a? I think he was a finalist here.
Wouldn't hire him. Three Why? Names potential to be a serial killer.
Oh, stop it! But he, I mean, I know he was. I think he was in the running here.
How dare you tell me to stop it?
Oh, well, I did.
What about John Wayne Gacy? Three names.
Yeah. Okay. Edward Allan Poe. Edgar Allan. No, Edward Allan Pogue is somebody.
Serial killer, right?
Edgar Allan Poe.
It all happens. For all those. But they're, I mean, like the Jason Garrett, right? And the.
Yeah, that one I don't really get.
Mike
which
McCarthy.
We're going to ask our next guest about.
Right.
But I don't really get that one.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that I just, maybe it's practice. You know, Borgonzi hasn't been through this yet. He's never hired a head coach. Ever, because he came here last year. He was given Callahan, which if you go back, they probably should let Callahan go after last year.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you live and learn, Borgonzi knows what he's doing, knows where he's got the pulse of the team. As he says he does. Now bring your coach in here and go forward.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to Babe Laufenberg. He is the color analyst for the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, also a former Indiana quarterback. We'll give us some insight on some of these coaching candidates for the Titans that have ties to the Cowboys and tonight's game as well. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Friday, 102.5 The Game.